Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, a wonderful Monday, and delighted you have chosen to spend part of it with me. A little bit of snow in the air cannot dim my spirits. In fact, they only add to them. It's a good day. As I'm watching, as I'm on my way home from work today, I'm watching the first people in the United States start getting vaccinated against the coronavirus. Puts you in a good state of mind. Better times are right around the corner, and the football weekend was just outstanding. And of course, I'm going to start there, and I'm going to spend basically 2 hours there, and I invite you to spend it with me. We've got a lot to get to, including your calls. You know what Mondays mean. They mean my hot takes and then yours. They're coming in just a few minutes, and we'll set them up for you here in less than 10. But I will begin with something that I've never heard before, and that is that not only one, but two NFL coaches did not watch their own teams play yesterday. And I can prove it. I'm going to play for you two sound bites that will prove from these coaches that they did not watch their own teams play yesterday. It begins in Philadelphia with the head coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson, in his regular weekly visit on WIP radio in Philly this morning when being asked about his quarterback situation. And obviously Jalen Hurts and his performance of yesterday, says that he still hasn't made up his mind what he's going to do going forward. Listen to this.
Will he start Sunday in Arizona?
You know, I'm going to take a look at yesterday. I'm going to look at a lot of different things before I make that determination this week.
I'm going to look at a lot of different things, says Doug Peterson. If any of those things include the tape of the game, there's no decision to be made here. This is bordering on a ridiculous answer. And truthfully, I think it actually exposes something weird going on. The problem is, I have no idea what. But for whatever reason, Doug Peterson's lack of willingness to come out of that day yesterday in which Jalen Hurts, in a game in which he was being described as a sacrificial lamb going up against the best defense in the NFL, ranked number one and so red hot coming in, you would have thought it would have been a miracle if the Eagles scored at all. And for Hurts to put together the kind of game he did, and I've got numbers I'll give you in a minute, and then to win that game, to keep your season alive, a season that Carson Wentz, And I there's really no other way to say it, has contributed significantly to destroying. It is insulting not to just say Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. It's ridiculous. And it is obviously illustrative because Doug Peterson is a smart guy and he knows more about offensive football than I'll ever know. He's forgotten today more about offensive football than I'll ever know. So he knows what I'm saying. So what's going on? What is the hesitancy? What does it mean? We've got to go in search of those answers, guys. We've got to get Sal on this week or someone who's close to the situation. Orlovsky in an hour. We'll ask him this question. What is this telling us about Carson Wentz? This is now two quarterbacks. If you were to line the three of them up and just have a draft, Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts, Nick Foles, Carson Wentz would be the first pick and it wouldn't even be close. He's by far the most talented of the three. The questions on Jalen Hurts were, does he have the NFL skill set? The question on Nick Foles is he anything more than a journeyman backup? There are no questions about Carson Wentz, except when he plays, his team stinks. So I don't know what's going on there, but whatever it is, Doug Peterson's lack of willingness to come out and say what we all know is troubling, or at least it's curious. I'm confused by it, and I'd like an explanation. We'll try and get you one. Meantime, Ryan Clark heard that and said the following on Get Up Today. I think you will find this very amusing.
Doug is lying, yo. Doug lying. Doug had finally came out and started saying some good things in his interviews and started saying the right things and holding people accountable and sounding extremely intelligent about the way he was going forward with all of this. And then he does this. Not today, Doug. Not today.
Not today, Doug. I mean, the numbers are unbelievable, okay? There are two that I've picked out here that Mr. Hembo sent me that I really like. Here's the first. The Eagles have had, this season, they have now played 13 games. Carson Wentz has had zero starts with zero interceptions and zero sacks taken. That's in 12 starts. Jalen Hurts has now had one. So in his only start this year, he had no picks and did not take any sacks. Carson Wentz has not had a single game this year in which he did not have at least one of those two. That's the first stat. The second one is this. Pardon me, a little tickle in the throat. Since Jalen Hurts replaced Carson Wentz, the Eagles have averaged 6.3 yards per play. That is equal to the Green Bay Packers, who are right now the one seed in the NFC, and Aaron Rodgers, their quarterback, is probably now the leading candidate for MVP. When Carson Wentz was their quarterback, they averaged 4.8 yards per play. That is equal to the Cincinnati Bengals, who are going to be a top five team in the draft. So with Jalen Hurts, they're a top five team in the NFL. And with Carson Wentz, they're a top five team in the draft. These things aren't complicated. The only part of it I don't understand is why the coach is unwilling to come out and say it. We'll try and figure it out. This is Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. So that's one coach who I think didn't watch his own team play yesterday. Here comes another. Bruce Arians of the underwhelming Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who finally had their bye, had 2 weeks to prepare for a Minnesota Vikings team that everyone scores huge numbers of points against. They look completely underwhelming in that win. To win, I don't take anything away from the win, but it's an underwhelming performance by anyone's estimation. And Bruce Arians comes out afterwards and says this.
When asked early this week about our identity, I think we just showed our identity. We could do any damn thing we want to do.
You know, what game do you think he was watching yesterday that led him to say that, to say something that sounds so confident and such bravado? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday made me less confident, not more. They hit on a couple plays. They threw one downfield to Scotty Miller. They finally remembered who he is, and that got Brady going. Brady was terrible in the first quarter of that game, terrible. Missing open guys, just throwing the ball downfield. Gronkowski is running. It's painful to watch him run in the open field. So Brady and they looked awful yesterday, just awful. And they hit on a few big plays, but that's what they've become. And they ran it. Maybe that's the one thing he's referring to, was they finally ran it. They ran it for over 100 yards yesterday. And so if they're going to run it, maybe they give themselves a fighting chance. But I don't know. Did anyone else feel the way I felt? Did you emerge from yesterday less confident in the Buccaneers, not more? I'm just pulling up Minnesota's last few games. In Minnesota's last few games, they gave up 26 to Brady yesterday. They gave up 24 to the Jaguars the week before, 27 to the Panthers the week before that, 31 to the Cowboys the week before that. So that defense stinks. And Brady and the Buccaneers didn't do much of anything against them yesterday. Well, less than spectacular. I'll say it again. I emerged less confident in Tampa in the NFC. Not more confident. Now, they're going to get into the playoffs. They're 8-5, and no win in the National Football League is a bad win. They have two games left with Atlanta and something sandwiched in between it. I forget what that third game is. But whatever it is, they're all against losing teams. They have a good chance to get on a little bit of a roll here and maybe get in at 11-5. Now, no one can argue that's a bad season. But the team that we watched play yesterday, do they go to Lambeau Field and win? Do they go to New Orleans and win? Do they beat the Rams or the Seahawks? I'm not sure. I don't think so. And that can be the only goal. When Tom Brady is your quarterback, you don't sit there thinking, well, you know, maybe we'll get into the playoffs and win a game. That just isn't on the list of expectations. So that's where we are this morning. That's where we begin, with two coaches that I'm just not convinced watched their own teams play yesterday. This is Greeny. I'm presented by Progressive Insurance. My guests, like Dan Orlovsky, in a little less than an hour, will be on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And now I'm going to ask you to call. If you are with me here during this football season, Mondays mean hot takes. First, I'll do mine, and then I'll ask you for yours. So dial it up right now on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. You can be a part of Greeny Nation at 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. The college football season is heating up. So is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. So again, your hot takes are on the way at 888-SAY-ESPN. But we will start with mine. Mr. Bubba, give me a little music over there, if you would, please, to get these things started. We count these down 3, 2, and 1.
Number three
is that if you watch that team play yesterday, you know that what I've been saying all along is true. And that is that the Bears should never have gone away from Mitch Trubisky in the first place. He has a ceiling much higher than Nick Foles. They wasted a season figuring out something they should never have been trying to figure out in the first place. I'm reading quotes from Matt Nagy today talking about how what Trubisky has accomplished the last few weeks has been real. Trubisky was 3-0 when you benched him. It never made sense, and it still doesn't. I'm not saying you hit your horse to this thing long term. But to have been rushing to get him off the field, to put Nick Foles on it, never made sense. And the proof has been in the pudding. And the proof has been in the performance. And we have seen it. Trubisky put up monster numbers. Now, yes, the Texans are an absolutely terrible defense. And was I expecting that yesterday? No, I was not. I thought yesterday was going to be Deshaun Watson's day. I thought Deshaun Watson would be so eager in his first visit to Soldier Field to show the Bears what a big mistake they made in passing him up to take Trubisky. And, of course, they did. That goes without saying. Has nothing to do with what happened yesterday. But it was just further proof that taking him off the field in the first place was the mistake. They had already made up their minds. There's two different things. One thing that journalists, I'm going to make a ridiculous analogy, but if there's one thing that journalists are sometimes accused of that is a terrible thing to do, is that they go into a story with their minds made up on what it is they want to say, and they find ways to justify it. What you should do, of course, is go in looking for the truth and then write that. It's an analogy to this. Matt Nagy and the Bears went into the season trying to figure out how to justify putting Nick Foles on the field. And the moment they felt they could, the instant they felt they could, they did. And they stayed with that long after there had been infinitely more evidence that that wasn't working than there was that Trubisky wasn't working. So this has been a total organizational failure from top to bottom. They may sneak into the back end of the playoffs, but this was a team that I think had a little more to offer this season than it's going to wind up giving you. That's hot take number three. Bubba, what's next?
Number two.
Oh, that's right. Of course, number two comes after number three. And number two is this. The team that is going to win the NFC East is the team that has the best player in it. And that is a division where most of the time you look at a division and you say, well, who are the quarterbacks? I'm taking the team with the best quarterback. In this case, take the team with the best player. And that player is Chase Young. Chase Young is unbelievable. He is the best player in that division. He is the rookie of the year in the NFL. They're going to give one to the offense and one to the defense. I know that. But he is the rookie of the year. You can talk about Justin Herbert. You can talk about Jefferson in Minnesota. And you can talk about the running back in D.C. And you can talk about Joe Burrow before he got hurt and anyone else you want. The best rookie in the National Football League is Chase Young. And he is starting to make an enormous impact on these games. And I tell you, Washington looks a lot like San Francisco did a year ago. All those high draft picks on the defensive line just wreaking havoc with opposing quarterbacks. If Alex Smith is healthy, and it didn't look like that injury yesterday was serious, they're going to win that division, and they're going to be a tough out. No one is having fun going into D.C. that first weekend in January. I'm telling you right now, if it's Tom Brady in Tampa, I think Washington's got an excellent chance in that game. All right, there's one more. Bubba, go.
Number one.
All right, number one is the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, whom I told you Friday were the team on the come, were the team that has the best chance to beat Kansas City. Suddenly, everyone is saying it. But you heard it here Friday. You heard it in an essay on Get Up, and you heard it here. I double, triple down on it. Josh Allen is playing as well as any quarterback in the NFL right this minute. When that game was a game yesterday, he was brilliant. First two drives after halftime, he was 8 of 8, two touchdowns, led them right down the field like a hot knife through butter, and he can run, and he's great in the red zone, and they're great on third down, and they're great on fourth down. They were the definitively better team than the Steelers, who went into that game 11-1 last night. The Buffalo Bills are for real. The Buffalo Bills remain, as I said they were a week ago, the team with the best chance in either conference to beat Kansas City in a playoff game this year. Now, we'll spend a bunch of time today talking about the Steelers, because that side of that game is just as important and just as interesting. But hot take number one today, the Buffalo Bills are who I told you last Friday they were. They are a legit contender to win the Super Bowl this year. Those are my hot takes. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio. Now it is time for yours. We've been looking for some of the best ones. I want them hot. Okay, we are looking for scalding hot takes coming out of an NFL Sunday. Callers are on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Hashtag Bubba, who's first?
Yeah, first up, we got Brad.
Brad, you're on ESPN Radio. What's your hot take?
Greeny, I'm from Minnesota, but I'm a huge diehard Packer fan. The Packers will not win a playoff game this year. Their defense is atrocious. That game against the Lions should not have been close. Their defense has hindered this team for years, and it's a shame because, again, as everyone sees, Aaron Rodgers, another year wasted.
I agree with it. I agree with it. I'm sorry to cut you off. I want to get in as many as I can here. I totally agree with it, and I've been saying it all year long. And don't let that defense putting up some numbers the last couple of weeks fool you. They're playing bad teams. When they go up, if they should have to see the Rams, if they should have to see the Seahawks, even the Bucks, I think that they can still be run on. They can be exploited up the middle, and now you're putting a lot of pressure on Rodgers and Devontae Adams. And Devontae Adams right now is the best receiver in the National Football League, and Rodgers is playing as well as he ever has, and I actually think he overtook Mahomes yesterday in the MVP race. But I agree with that take. I still don't think they have enough defense to get out of the NFC. Dr. Pepper, call in line. Bubba, who's next?
Next up is Jason.
Jason, what's your hot take? Jason.
Come on, Jason.
Did we lose Jason?
Oh, I'm here.
Come on.
I said it's going to take some looking into, but I've got proof that the NFL and their refs have an absolute conspiracy against the Detroit Lions.
Okay. I'm glad we waited for that one. Jason, thank you very much. When you find that proof, please send that in. Just send that to Greeny and just put it in an envelope and see where it goes. Bubba, let's go again. Dr. Pepper, call in line. Who's next?
We got Jonathan.
Jonathan, give me a hot take.
Greeny, the Packers and the Saints will be the top two seeds in the NFC, and neither will make the NFC championship game. I think the Packers get manhandled with good defenses up front. And as good as the Saints are in the regular season, in the last couple of seasons in the playoffs, they haven't been as efficient offensively. I think they will continue. Neither team will make the NFC championship game going in 1-2.
See, now you're getting exactly the spirit of the segment. That is a scalding hot take, and I love it. I don't know that I agree with it, but I do think there's a lot of pressure on the Saints to get Breeze back. Taysom Hill is starting to show you yesterday that he is a gadget player who can make some great throws. But he's not Steve Young. He is much more a tight end with a good arm. So they're going to need Drew Brees. But I do believe they will get him back. I have time to squeeze in one more. Bubba, give me one more hot take.
Yeah, the J theme continues, and we got Justin.
Justin, give me one hot take.
Greeny, Jameis Winston will start next week for the Saints, and there'll be a shootout in New Orleans against the Chiefs.
I love it. I love it. Next week is New Orleans, Kansas City, one of the best games of the year, and I love the take. I don't expect it to happen, but I wouldn't be stunned. Or let me rephrase that. I don't think it would be a mistake. I think it might actually be the right thing to do. We've seen what you have in Taysom. You have a guy who can get you from point A to point B. Let's see, in a game that you probably figure to lose anyway, let's see if Jameis Winston can get you from B to C if you need him to. Really good calls, really good takes today. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of it. We will do that in each hour today to make sure everyone gets a chance to give me their hot takes today, as those are scalding, and I like them. As we continue here in just a moment, the most amazing streak I think I've ever heard of came to an end in the NFL yesterday.
Greeny, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. A very, very happy holiday season and Merry Christmas to one and all. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio. We're at half past the hour here. Dan Orlovsky live with me in a half hour. I tell you, an extraordinary, extraordinary streak comes to an end yesterday. I think this is worth pointing out. You knew that the Patriots were going to miss the playoffs. So you knew the Patriots had 17 consecutive years of double-digit wins, which is ridiculous. They also had 11 consecutive playoff appearances, which is ridiculous. But with the Bills' win last night, one thing is now guaranteed to happen. For the first time since the 2000 season, there will be a team in the AFC East that has a better record than the Patriots. They have finished first or tied for first in that division every year going back to 2001. Which is the year in which Tom Brady became their starter. It's incredible. You know that there are two seasons in which they missed the playoffs. One of them was 2002. The Jets won the division that year. They won it in a tiebreaker. The Patriots had the same record. The other was 2007, the season in which they lost Brady in the first game of the season. They went to Matt Castle. They went 11-5, tied for the best record in the division with Miami. Miami won the division on a tiebreaker. So this is the first time since the 2000 season, since before Tom Brady became an NFL starter, that a team in that division will have more wins than the Patriots. Nuno just sent that to me, and I think it's just an incredible statistic. Meanwhile, every week our friends at Mercedes-Benz Vans ask me to name someone who went the extra mile this weekend. Going the extra mile is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. I'll tell you who I thought went the extra mile yesterday. And actually, it's an appropriate sponsorship for him. And that is Derrick Henry. Because if you just put a Mercedes-Benz van out there on the field and had it start rolling, the defenders would have as easy a time trying to tackle that as they do Derrick Henry. Watching Henry as I did yesterday, I was very attuned to him yesterday because I was riding him on my DraftKings lineup and he took care of me, took me to the house, 215 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, and basically sat out a lot of the fourth quarter. But here was the thought that I had watching Derrick Henry yesterday. I think he's my favorite player in the NFL to watch when he's playing well. Because there's something about these guys who are just so freakishly gifted that is impossible to take your eyes off of. And for someone to be as big, strong, and fast as he is basically impossible. And when he gets up ahead of steam, it genuinely looks like there is a thoroughbred racehorse on the field and the defense is trying to corral it. And with a thoroughbred racehorse, not that I've ever tried to do this, but I would imagine if you're going to stop a racehorse, you have to convince it to decide to stop on its own. Right? You're not going to stop a horse. You're going to grab a rein and do something that makes it want to stop on its own. And that's kind of the way it looks to me when the defense is, when he gets rolling, when he gets to the second level, it looks like the defense is just sort of shouting in his direction, please decide you want to stop now, Derek, because I'm not getting in the middle of this. He is endlessly watchable. He leads the National Football League in rushing by 200 yards, and I believe he is the NFL's offensive player of the year. I think Travis Kelce is going to win that award. He's a tight end who leads the league in pass receiving. He has the most receiving yards of anyone. So I think it comes down to those two, Henry and Kelce. I would go with Henry. He would get my vote right now for offensive player of the year. So he was brilliant yesterday. Someone who was the opposite of brilliant yesterday, of course, was Dan Bailey, the kicker of the Minnesota Vikings. And if you don't know what happened, you don't even need me to tell you how bad a day he was having. He left 10 points on the field yesterday. You can hear it in the anguish in the voice of those calling the game on KFAN in Minneapolis. Just listen.
Come on, Dan. Come on, Dan. Snap spot. Bailey missed the extra point, my God. Come on! That's his third missed extra point the last two games. Dan Bailey with a 36-yard try, left hash. Snap, good, spot, down. Bailey missed it. He's broken.
Are you kidding me?
He's broken. That's the only way to put it. He is absolutely broken. Ridiculous. Dan Bailey with a 54-yard try, right hash. Snap, good, spot, down.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he missed it to his right by 40 feet?
At least. You got Bailey coming out, and you make this field goal, Paul. It's a one-touchdown game.
It's a 46-yard try for Dan Bailey. Snap spot. Dan Bailey missed it to the right. He's 0 of 3 on field goals.
Wow.
He's missed all four kicks today.
So that you can hear the frustration from the voices on KFAN. It's a good calls. I like him telling you the hash. From which the kicker is kicking on the radio. That's good to know. Look, you have days like that. There were just going to be days like that. But that went a long way towards deciding that game. If you watched Tampa, Minnesota yesterday, and you didn't just read the final score, then you would know that, to my eye, the Vikings are every bit as good a team as the Bucs. And the difference is the Bucs sort of banked a few wins early while the Vikings were trying to find themselves. But to me, I overwhelmingly believe that that is a game the Vikings could have won. And if those teams somehow managed to play each other in the playoffs again, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. The least bit surprised if the Vikings win. All right, Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We are about 25 minutes away from Dan Orlovsky joining me here. Every Friday, I give you the three people or players that I believe are under the most pressure in the National Football League. Let me quickly recap those for you, and let's see how they did. At number three, I had Kyler Murray, quarterback Arizona. Check. He did not have a great day yesterday, but he had a good enough day against what is a very good Giants defense, and frankly did all he had to do because the Giants offense was just terrible. That was a very disappointing performance from the Giants, who had won four straight games and really looked like they had become the best team in the NFC East. And you know what? I hate to say it, but maybe they'd have been better off with Colt McCoy. But Daniel Jones didn't look healthy, and he looked terrible. And he turned back into the guy who turns the football over too much, and Arizona winds up with the win. So give credit where it's due. Kyler Murray, they needed it. That team had lost three straight. If it hadn't been for the miracle Hail Mary, it would have been four straight, and they'd be on the outside of the playoffs looking in. They would have been anyway if they had lost yesterday. They didn't. They went on the road. They beat a team that had been playing well, did what they need to do. Credit where it's due. So good for Kyler Murray. At number two, I had the Steeler wide receivers. The Steeler wide receivers dropping the football. Now, they still don't run the ball in Pittsburgh. The Steelers, we've seen them play three games now in the last 12 days. The Wednesday game against Baltimore, then the Monday game against Washington, and then yesterday, the primetime game against Buffalo. So every one of those games was nationally televised and separate. You got to see every snap because they were playing, every game was by themselves. And in those three games, they rushed the ball for a combined total of 136 yards. That's in three games. It's unbelievable. So with that little balance, no one can win anything of consequence. And they certainly will not. So the pressure remains on the Steeler receivers, who've had big problems with drops this year, and they're going to have to figure out how to get some balance. If they don't, then the Steeler receivers are going to have to be brilliant, which they are good, but they're not that good. Nobody is. And then number one, I had Brady and AB, and I didn't think that they did. AB was barely a factor in the game yesterday, and I did not think Brady played well. Yeah, he threw a couple of touchdowns. Yes, he got hot a little bit as the game went on, but overall, I didn't think he was particularly good yesterday. I didn't. I was completely underwhelmed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday. Coming up next, the best hire of 2020 in sports is being made as we speak.
Greeny, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Greeny with you, and I don't even think this should constitute breaking news, but it is now official that Jalen Hurts is going to be the starting quarterback for the Eagles this coming weekend. I have no earthly idea why Doug Peterson needed this long to tell us that. Again, we opened the show 40 minutes ago by telling you that Peterson had remained non-committal in his radio appearance this morning, but Shefty is now reporting that it'll be Jalen Hurts going forward at quarterback, and it's a pretty simple reason why. We'll make this today's fascinating stat, which is brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. The Eagles and Jalen Hurts were pressured. Hurts was pressured 14 times yesterday. On those 14 plays, the Eagles gained 82 yards and took zero negative plays. On plays in which he has been pressured this season, Carson Wentz has a QBR of 6.2. That's out of 100. It's 29th in the league. He's taken 50 negative plays, took a sack on 28% of plays in which he has been pressured. So many drive killers. Hurts is just better. He's just playing the position better than Carson Wentz has, which is incredible, considering Jalen Hurts had never started a game before. He was going up against a great defense in the New Orleans Saints, and because he was a guy who everyone said didn't really have the skill set to play the quarterback position, yet he was a better quarterback yesterday than Carson Wentz has been all year long. How do you explain that? I will ask Orlovsky the question when he joins me in 15 minutes, because I can't explain it. What has happened to Carson Wentz is a mystery. And what happens to him now, I have no earthly idea. I don't know where it goes from here. 3 weeks ago, I would have told you it was a lock. He's their starter week one next year. I no longer think that. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I don't think it's a lock anymore. So I don't know what the heck is going to happen there. Meanwhile, we'll get back to all of that, but I want to get through some of the college notes over the weekend, and it starts with this. Bubba, it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
That was the story of the college football weekend, wasn't it? That was an incredible way for a championship to be decided. I'm sure you saw it by now. You don't mean me to explain. LSU upsetting Florida on Saturday night, in part because one of the kids on Florida picked up a shoe and threw it, got called for unsportsmanlike conduct, 15-yard penalty, and that led to the field goal that won the game for LSU. Stunning. Stunning. And legitimate, I guess. I mean, it seems a crazy way for a game to be decided, but if there is indeed a 15-yard penalty for throwing a shoe, which I assume there is, it's something I had never thought of before, then I guess it's well-deserved. There's a fine line between youthful exuberance, which you don't want to legislate out of a game, and just doing something senseless, and I suppose that's what it was. So it's a horrible way for a team, for a kid now to be remembered for having lost this incredibly important game. But it just takes one team out of the mix. Florida is now out of the mix, and it brings a lot of other teams into the mix. Alabama gets in no matter what. All of a sudden, this brings Texas A&M into the mix. Maybe it puts both teams from the ACC into the mix. Maybe it just automatically assures that Ohio State, if they win on Saturday, are in the mix. One way or another, it was a very controversial tossing of a shoe. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Two other things I wanted to comment on quickly here. I told you that the best hiring in sports of 2020 is being made right now. And that is that, according to reports everywhere, Jim Phillips, who is the athletic director at Northwestern University and someone that I have come to know very well over the last 10 or 15 years, is going to be the next commissioner of the ACC, which is a wonderful opportunity for him. It's a devastating loss for the school that I love, but it is a wonderful opportunity for someone who richly deserves it. I know you don't care that much about this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Suffice it simply to say that if I had any sports organization, any, the person I would hire to run it is Jim Phillips. I know him extremely well. No one cares more. No one works harder. No one is more dedicated, committed, or flat out better that I've ever come across in the sports industry in my life than Jim Phillips. So if this is what he wants to do, then I'm thrilled for him. And everyone in ACC country, you should be thrilled because you got yourself a great one. I thought he was going to be the next commissioner of the Big Ten. They passed him over for Kevin Warren, and now he, it appears, is going to become the next commissioner of the ACC. Again, I'm sure I'll talk to him at some point, but congratulations to Jim if it is not premature to say so. Again, they got themselves the best in the business. Speaking of the ACC, I was amused at what Dabo Swinney said when Greg Sankey at the SEC suggested that the ACC was protecting Notre Dame and Clemson by not making them play this past weekend. Dabo Swinney said this.
If the ACC was trying to really protect Clemson and Notre Dame, why would we even play the game this week? If six wins can get you in the playoffs, shouldn't nine get you there? Shouldn't 10 get you there? I mean, so if the ACC was really trying to protect Clemson and Notre Dame, we wouldn't even play this game.
But the bottom line of it is this, okay? If there's one thing that has been fully demonstrated during this pandemic, it's that there is no there's no shame, if you will. Like, nothing is beyond the pale. Like, we'll just change the rules with 1 week left in the season because Ohio State needs us to in the Big Ten. And I don't have a problem with it because that's just kind of the way it is. Just admit what it is and what you are. There's nothing wrong with what the ACC is doing. They don't want one of those two teams to get tripped up. Look what just happened to Florida. You know, you're Clemson, you go out there, you play a team that you should beat. Next thing you know, someone throws a shoe and you're out of the championship. So I disagree with Dabo to the extent that I think they are gerrymandering it to protect their teams, but everyone is doing it. Everyone is doing it. So we have to either agree that no one can do it or everyone is going to do it. And everyone is doing it. So if we're not going to have a problem with one, we can't have a problem with any other. Dan Orlovsky will try to explain the inexplicable next here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can check out Greeny live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Also, don't miss Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 Eastern on ESPN. This is Greeny, the podcast.